Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, cause we're the Miami Dolphins.
All right, Dolphins fans, this is DolphinsTalk.com podcast, episode 8. I'm Randy Savage. I got Tom on the line. What's up, Tom?
What's going on, Randy? How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. We made it to episode 8. We're just going, we're getting closer and closer to some football.
Finally.
Yeah, basketball is winding down. We're getting into baseball. Hockey's even winding down, too. This is their finals also. But, I mean, for the summer, we got some Copa America soccer. I don't know if anybody likes soccer who listens to the podcast or football, like they say overseas. But we also got some Olympics, too. So this summer actually looks a little bit more entertaining than any other summers we had previously. Am I right?
Yeah, it sounds about right. The Olympics should be fun. We know USA basketball is probably going to dominate as usual.
Of course.
But hopefully we can see some more gold in the U.S. this year.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I'm certainly going to be watching it with intent, and I just can't wait for it. But let's go ahead and get on to some Miami Dolphins football to start off this podcast. First thing we want to go ahead and talk about is the unfortunate passing of Brian Wiedermeyer. I mean, seriously, death really comes, man, especially in 2016.
It's nonstop. And, you know, this one kind of hits home a little bit for the Miami Dolphins. He was a big part of the organization for a number of years. A lot of people do not know who he is, but he's a big name in the Dolphins in the Dolphins halls regarding the things that he did. He initially started the Joe Robbie Stadium project. He actually was a part of the initial construction of that stadium as well as the first renovation at that stadium. But he also worked for the Browns, and he had recent renovations, the first Energy Stadium as well. He passed at the age of a very young age of 57 of brain cancer. So we wish his wife and family well and good fortunes ahead. But, you know, it's a tough loss for the Dolphins organization from a perspective of what he did for the franchise. I mean, it's not even just the stadium stuff. It's everything in the community that he did. He was never a me first guy. He would always put his job, his family, obviously first and foremost, in front of everything. There was a story on Sports Illustrated regarding his time at one of the combines, and he received a message that his wife's water broke. He took the first flight out of Indianapolis in mid combine to get home to his wife, so he didn't even care.
Man.
So that, I mean, that's just kind of the guy he was.
Some things are just more important than football, and certainly, you know, when it comes to, you know, your mate and giving birth, that's certainly more important. And I heard he passed from brain cancer, and so he was gone for a while. I heard he was a very, very good guy. Everybody I see with some type of commentary on Brian Wiedermeyer, they always say he was such a very, very, very nice guy. That's everything I've heard, either when it comes to the papers or even the radio and even Twitter, they always talk highly of Brian Wiedermeyer.
Absolutely.
And we just want to go ahead and move on to the next topic here. We were one was actually about the Dolphins being a little bit more cautious with Devontae Parker.
Not his foot, according to Coach Gase, his foot is not the issue. He was on the sidelines for most of the OTAs, if not all of the OTA practices. He was basically still doing sprints. He was still doing route running on the sidelines. According to the reports, he was still running perfectly fine. So I'm not sure if it's anything crazy, but it doesn't look like it's his foot. Everything looks good from a fluidity standpoint from his running and his routes. We just don't know what it is. I mean, he may have a tweak in his shoulder. He may have a broken finger. Who knows? But they strongly believe he will be a full go when the mandatory minicamp is, I believe it's in a couple weeks, and then they got a month off until training camp. So we'll know for sure how his health is at that point, but nothing to concern with right now.
I don't think so either. I mean, he's a dynamic player. He looked healthy like the last month of the season, and I'm hearing so many great things about him in practices. But these are just practices. There's no tackling involved. We also had some news so far this week about Rashad Jones actually threatening to sit out the rest of the season and even miss mandatory camp. So, like, I know that's pretty big. I don't want this to happen to him because I think he's well worth that money, no matter what Mike says. And, you know, especially with the whole, you know, he's only going to play big only for that contract, and once he gets the pay, once he gets that money, he's not going to perform. But I think I think the Dolphins should pay the man. That's just my idea.
I agree with you 100%. There's no reason why he should not be paid. Yes, he's under contract for 2 years. We understand that he is getting paid over $7 million this year, and I believe his 2017 money is shade over $6 million. So does the guy want to get paid? Absolutely. Does he deserve to get paid?
Definitely.
I believe he does. I think the numbers speak for themselves. His last 2 years, particularly last year, he was a standout. He was an absolute stud in that secondary and quite possibly one of the top safeties in the NFL. He produced at an alarming rate. The tackles obviously had to come in bunches because they had to rely on him because the defense was awful last year.
Exactly.
But he performed. He had two touchdowns returned last year, bunch of tackles, bunch of big hits. He was great against the run. He's just been coming into his own over the last couple of years, so I believe he deserves that extension. I don't know if it'll happen this year, but from a good faith perspective, hopefully the Dolphins front office will give him an opportunity to, you know, to show up and let him know that they will negotiate his deal at the end of the season. They can't run into the situation like they did with Vernon.
Exactly. Vernon
left. You know, our best pass rusher last year and the year before is gone. The guy got tons of pressures on the quarterback. He forced a lot of incompletions, a lot of hurried throws. He bolted for New York because Miami didn't offer him a long-term deal. Rashad Jones hits free agency at the age of 29. He's got probably a good 2 to 4 years left of solid football. Someone's going to offer him a stupid amount of money to go. So lock him in now while the rates are low because it's only going to go up from here.
I mean, $85 million. Well, Harrison Smith, the safety from the Minnesota Vikings, just signed a brand new 5-year deal, $51 million. It's $10 million a year. This guy, I don't think he's as good as Rashad Jones.
And not at all.
I certainly think Rashad's going to get that I was going to say max contract, but he's going to get that extension. I just hope it's, you know, before camp. That's all that matters to me. So he can go in, especially with this Vance Joseph defense, and perform. Now, we have actually getting some news about some kind of feedback about Laremy Tunsil. There's some good, some bad. Can you go ahead and expound on that for me?
The good is that he's an avid learner. The guy just wants to constantly learn. He's always asking the right questions. He's making sure he's doing things the right way. So on the field, it's now no question of his work ethic. It's at this point, can he handle the NFL game at that guard position? It's a whole new position for him. He's never played it before. We've talked about Brandon Albert being a left tackle on this football team. And Tunsil has got to learn guard, and he's only got a few months to go before he starts seeing that live action. So he's got to get his feet right. He's got to get his shoulders right. Everything's just got to fall in for a fluidity standpoint to make sure that this is going to work. If not, I have no idea where they're going to go, because if he's going to fail at guard, this offensive line has no improvement at that point.
Exactly. I got faith in Laremy Tunsil, man. This guy was supposed to be the first pick of the draft, He fell because of the gas mask video. Speaking of that, have you heard that he hasn't had any type of update about the gas mask incident from the NFL?
There's no update. They have not contacted him at all regarding the incident with that. Honestly, at the time that it happened, he wasn't in the NFL. So I don't foresee that being a big deal. They may contact him, just let him know, you know, you better be careful, go over the rules with him, let him know the suspension protocol, what happens, how he can even talk to Deion Jordan if and when he shows up to camp.
I was going to say that too. What about the drug program? Have they added him to the drug program or anything?
No, not at this point.
So it's all pretty much in the green for Laremy Tunsil, no pun intended.
Yes, it's in the green, but not with the leaf.
Now, we actually want to go on to Kiko Alonso actually saying, this linebacking core, the sky is the limit. I'm unsure about that. Am I right?
The sky is the limit for opposing offenses? I think that's maybe where he was going with it. Again, I don't know where this unit's going to go. I have no faith in any of those guys at that linebacker position at this point. We know what we have in Koumissi. We've seen it year in and year out. He's probably one of the most inconsistent linebackers we've had on this football team in recent memory. Jelani Jenkins, he played well his rookie season. He fell apart last year. Injuries, everything else kinds of go along with it. Chris McCain, I believe, is going to be a hand-in-the-ground defensive end as a rotational player. He did play some outside linebacker at some points last year. We can move him on. Kiko Alonso has had one good year in the NFL, his rookie season. After that, nothing. He hasn't really proven anything. He can't stay healthy. The sky's the limit. Okay, what's the limit? You're going to be a top 25 linebacking corp in the NFL. I mean, we got to see something here, and hopefully there's going to be some changes there too. Again, I've been preaching Deion Jordan as an outside linebacker for the last 2 months, and that could be an upgrade at the position if he's ready to go. I don't know where they go from here.
I certainly think they're going to add another linebacker, because again, you cannot depend on Kiko's health. He's had one great, very good year as a linebacker in the league. Last year, he had a very good two weeks before his injury, and then from there, the rookie from Philadelphia took his spot. So they had to throw him away, especially in this deal. I mean, the sky is the limit. Like, come on, fam. Like, I hope we make a change, especially when it comes to the linebacking core. I mean, we add some type of player that's recently cut. There is hope. Now, I saw something about Tony Lepet actually turning some heads. I saw that tweet, and I was like, wow, that's good. I mean, I kind of got some faith, especially with the DBs on this defense.
I'm glad that he's turning heads, because this is something that the Dolphins have needed at that second cornerback position. We know that the right cornerback is going to be Byron Maxwell. Right now he's proven to be a solid pickup just from practices. Obviously no pads, no games, no nothing yet. So we'll see how that progresses as we go. But Lepet is he's balling out there. He's competing day in and day out. There is a strong chance he will be the starting cornerback opposite Byron Maxwell week one of the season. That's how well he has been doing, and I love the fact that he's a converted wide receiver. He knows how these guys run the routes. He has good vision. He's tall, which fits the mold of what Vance Joseph is looking for, and he's learning to be very aggressive at the position. So there is a very good chance that Lepet will be starting at the second cornerback spot, and maybe Xavien Howard's going to be the slot corner for the time being, or vice versa. We'll see how it plays out. That's going to be a hell of a battle for all of us to watch during camp.
I think that whole wide receiver camp battle is going to be great. The DB camp battle is going to be great, too. I really, really see it, because I think you do got some players on for the with the DBs. I mean, Xavier Howard, Tony LePet, you got Bobby McCain still there, and you also got Ifo. And they're pretty. There are some decent players, young players that haven't really shown what they could do, especially in the league yet. I think they just probably need the playing time. There actually was some news about Cam Wake actually returning to camp full speed. This is really, really good. I think we talked about it last week.
Yep.
About the Achilles injury he had last week, and him being pushed off by Bushrod and all these other type of players, and now hearing that he's back at full speed, this is fantastic.
He let loose this week. He was not limited in what he was doing. The coaching staff believed that he was perfectly okay. The guy's a freak of nature. I can't believe that he's already recovered from an Achilles injury. We'll see probably him sit out maybe a couple preseason games would be my guess, just so they make sure that nothing does happen to him. But be rest assured he is going to be on the field week one for this team. In what capacity, we don't know yet. Will he start? Will he be a role player? It all depends on how he does in training camp and potentially in the preseason games. And if he can show that he can handle the workload, Cam Wake opposite of Mario Williams is a very lethal combination.
I'm feeling very, very confident, especially in that defensive line. If he comes back at what he was before his injury, I think right before his injury he had like five sacks in a game. He was leading the team in sacks before his injury.
He didn't get his first sack until the Tennessee Titans game last year, and when he was injured against the Patriots, he was up to 7 sacks.
Exactly.
I believe it was about 10 quarters. So he was well on his way to probably a decent 12 to 14 sack season last year before that Achilles unfortunately ruptured on him.
Just an absolute beast. Now, Wes Welker, Uncle Wes, he actually came to Dolphins camp last week, and I saw this and I kind of chuckled because he used to play for us. And he played for the enemy, and now he's back?
He went to the Dolphins camp as a guest coach, wide receiver coach. As you know, that he played for Adam Gase in Denver for a couple years, well-versed on the routes the wide receivers will be running. He also went to the Ravens camp as well as a guest coach there too. So Wes Welker, having knowledge of Gase's system, will help out these young receivers get a good grasp of what they have to do and what concepts they're going to be running week in and week out for these games. But the thing that irritated me the most, it was all over Twitter. I saw it. The fact that he just doesn't shut his mouth.
He did kind of throw shade at Rashad, didn't he?
He threw so much shade at Rashad, it was mind-boggling. And, we picked on him in New England. Oh, okay. And then every linebacker and cornerback didn't light you up either, Shorty.
I remember him just getting obliterated by, what was that? The safety. He came across the corner, and then Wes Welker died right on the field. I don't like Wes Welker. I'm so sorry. Ever since I heard the story about him rooting against the Dolphins and then being traded and then saying that he used to look at the Patriots sideline and want to be like that really pissed me off. And, yeah, to hell with Wes Welker, bro. I'm so sorry.
I hope he straps up for somebody this year and Rashad Jones sees him coming across the middle.
Oh, man, that would just be a beautiful thing. Cam Chancellor, just somebody light his ass up, please, for me, please. All right, so let's get into – actually, do you have any updates about OTAs?
Well, OTAs are done. The camps ran smoothly. They're, again, feeling very good with Ryan Tannehill right now running the system. Mike Pouncey, who, of course, has been in the huddle with Tannehill since he was a rookie, pretty much every single week. He sees a difference in what he's doing. He is very aggressive with the players, making sure they're lining up in the right positions, making sure they're running the right routes, making sure the offensive line knows the cadences and the signals and the changes at the audibles. we may see a new Tannehill. I don't know. If all is true coming from Mike Pouncey's mouth, we actually may finally get to see him be who we thought he could be, except the fact that we had Joe Philbin as a head coach. Probably he handicapped him, you know, and let's see what he can do. Let's see him audible at the line. They were running a very fast-paced offense in practices, getting up onto the ball, snapping it, you know, so there's going to be a lot of things that are going to occur this year with his offense, and as long as everybody stays healthy, who knows? This, we could actually see one of the best seasons since Dan Marino retired in regards of offense.
I got faith in Tannehill. Especially with a coach like Coach Gase, who's actually a quarterback whisperer. I just want to say it in a whispering voice. But this guy, he's very, very good with quarterbacks. I mean, he's already did with Jay Cutler last year. I think Tannehill will benefit with Gase. And hearing this, it gets me giddy. Now, let's get to some NFL stuff here. First thing I actually want to talk about was the NFL Twitter account was hacked. And they actually faked Roger Goodell's death, and then the Patriots fans rejoice.
That was the scream that I heard from Rochester.
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
Everybody thought he died. There was a lot of chatter about it for like a few hours. They were like, we're playing, we were hacked, Roger Goodell's good and alive. People were playing with his Twitter or his Wikipedia account, saying he died off Twitter, so on and so forth. Hell, there was even information about James Harrison's PED request, especially if you've seen his Instagram account and him just going crazy with the weightlifting. Especially at the age of 38. The guy's just a beast.
He is a genetic monster. That's one guy that I would never want to see in a dark alley late at night. He's a scary individual. So what he did is his doorbell rang. He opened it. The guys are there to test him for PEDs. He's been trying for years to get the NFL to show what happens during a PED test. Obviously, which has been shut down, but he went on his Instagram and actually filmed himself walking to the bathroom, flushing the toilet. I mean, he's just trying to garner attention to a major topic, which is what happens in a PED sample? What does occur? How does it, when does it happen? I mean, it's so random. What if he wasn't home?
He was in the club. NFL will say, hey, where are you at? We're going to go to that club and we're going to do it. And then we would have filmed the whole thing. It just would have been odd. They're trying to out my man, James Harrison, for drugs. That guy's a beast. I don't think so. What would have happened? It just would have been crazy.
Yep.
Aqib Talib's in the news again. He got shot in the club. And, he's still alive, and this guy's been in the news ever since he's been drafted. Am I right?
He's been in the news for all the wrong reasons. He went to a club. He decided to pull out YouTube and type in Plaxico Burress.
Cheddar
and
Bob.
Cheddar Bob shot himself. And he shot himself again. And the last time it happened, the Broncos told him in 2011, we're going to let it slide. The NFL, I believe, told him, we're going to let this one slide. I don't think they're going to let this one go. I think we might see Aqib Talib get suspended for a period of time. How long was Plaxico Burress out for? 10 weeks?
He was out for the year, I think, actually.
Was it the season? I believe he was suspended for 10 weeks.
Oh, yeah, because I think he came back at the end of the year.
Yep. But either way,
he was in jail. He was in jail in New York because New York does not play with guns. He was in jail for like a year. He came back 10 weeks. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
And I don't know what Talib's doing. He's on the best defense in the league. He's a shutdown corner. He is fantastic player. He likes to punch dudes in the nuts. I don't know. But But, I mean, come on. I mean, come on, man. Why do you bring a gun to a club and not turn the safety on? What are you doing?
I mean, you shouldn't bring a gun to a club either way. If you're with your crew or anything. You saw kind of what happened, especially with the rapper T.I.'s concert in New York with the rapper named Troy Ave shot in the club. You know, now he's going to be not even indicting him for murder. It's ridiculous, right? Like, guns, clubs, it doesn't mix.
Not at all. Hey, dear NFL players, this is like an open letter. You make millions of dollars. Stop doing dumb shit.
Please, exactly.
Man, it's got to stop eventually.
I mean, speaking of shooters, can we talk about my boy Aaron Hernandez?
Oh boy.
I mean, man, the best...
you got some strong aim with that one right there.
I never liked Aaron Hernandez. He killed us. I mean, Florida State and even the Dolphins, especially when he played with the Patriots, and now he's killing the Patriots. But even more, he actually changed up his defense lawyer to Casey Anthony's lawyers.
Great.
I mean, he's trying to find his way to get out of jail, man. I mean, yeah, man, he's not getting out at all. I mean, he can have Johnny Cochran risen from the dead like Jesus on his third day and do this incredible case. Everything stacked up against him. I mean, with the Olden Lloyd case, and even with the drive-by shooting 2 years prior to that.
Yeah, he hired Jose Baez, who did the Casey Anthony case, and he got that case not guilty for Casey Anthony, which is 100% awful. I mean, as a lawyer, I understand you got a job to do, but a two-year-old child was lost in a horrific fashion. So
exactly.
It's awful. Aaron Hernandez, I think the nearest he'll ever get to a football stadium is looking out his jail window, looking at Gillette Stadium from his jail cell.
Oh, man. Is he really outside of Gillette Stadium?
He is close to the stadium. Wherever the correctional facility that he is at is actually within, I think, 3 to 5 blocks away from Gillette Field.
Oh, terrible. Oh, man. I feel bad. I can't say I feel bad for Aaron Hernandez because I think he killed those people.
I mean, how can you not believe that he did it? I mean, the evidence is there. I know, innocent until proven guilty. But didn't he also just shank a guy in jail or help someone shank someone in jail?
Exactly. Exactly. I've heard that. And, I mean, he switched lawyers, so... We will see what happens, especially with this appeal that he has coming up. About the Broncos visiting the White House, and Brock Osweiler skipped it to attend OTAs.
Good for him for wanting to be with his new team, learning a new system, being the leader and the starting quarterback of the Houston Texans. But he's not going to go to the White House with the Texans. Go meet Obama and who at that time and get your rings. I mean, is it really that much ill will towards the Broncos? You left them for $2 million.
Exactly.
It was a good deal. I would have stayed in Denver, to be honest with you, because, I mean, they're a better team. And they were Super Bowl contenders because of that defense. But Mark Sanchez running that offense right now makes them probably second or third place in that division, in my opinion.
Wait, is the Oakland Raiders the best team in that division?
On paper, they look like it. They're going to be a force this year if Derek Carr continues to develop with Amari Cooper. They just picked up a running back, I believe.
They had Latavius Murray the year before that. They have Michael. Michael, the tight end. They have the guy from University of Miami.
Clyde Walford.
They're really looking like a good team, and their defense is really good.
Khalil Mack is a beast. Now, that's a linebacker I want in the Dolphins. Can we find a way to trade, like, our next 7 first-round picks to get Khalil Mack?
I'm down for it. Khalil Mack is a man. Oh, man, that guy's a beast. We actually have a couple more things we wanted to talk about here. One was actually Cam Newton retires the dab. I'm sorry, you can't see it now, but I just dabbed. Let me dab two more times. He retires it. People really gave him some, they really gave him a bad name because he celebrated in the end zone and doing a dab. If you guys don't know what the dab is a dance created in Atlanta. It's not a strain of weed. It's a dance created in Atlanta by this rap group called Migos. So just so you know. But he retires it. How do you feel about that?
Well, it was fun while it lasted. I mean, the dab became so prominent in the social world. I mean, the dab was the new Tebow. It really was.
Yeah, it's true.
Tebow Neal, man, it became a fad. I mean, I remember dabbing all the time during football season, even when the Dolphins were awful when Cam Newton scored. I just dabbed a little bit. but he is what the NFL needs. The No Fun League has really taken over, flagging these guys for having a little bit more excitement when they score touchdowns. And Cam Newton is, he can be a showboat. A lot of people believe that. He's not a bad guy. He's great for the community of Charlotte. And you know what? Every time he scores, a young kid in the stands gets a football from Cam Newton, folks. I can't hate the guy. I really can't.
I can't. The guy is such a fantastic football player. Yes, he celebrates, but what's wrong with celebrating a score? Like, it doesn't make sense. Everybody's not Barry Sanders, where they'll score the touchdown and give the ball to the referee. But I certainly celebrate Cam. I love me some Cam Newton. Man, this guy was the first pick in 2011. I would have died for Cam Newton that year.
Oh, God. Yeah, I'm happy with Mike Pouncey, but if there were any way that Cam Newton was available, if we could have got him, oh, man.
That guy is a beast. Oh, man. And similar to Rashad Jones, Von Miller threatens to hold out. This guy turned down, I think, the largest deal in NFL history. It was a 5-year, $113 million contract.
It was a big deal. Von Miller obviously has, since he came into the league in 2011, has been fantastic in regards of everything he's done on the football field. But this is getting very, very serious. I mean, the $114 million deal was a 6-year deal.
Jeez.
This is the sticking point. This is insane. The offer was $39.8 million guaranteed in the first 2 years of the deal.
God dang. Lord have mercy. That's a lot of money.
But here it is. There's no guaranteed money after that second year. Everything is you work for it. You get paid that way. So Elway tried to structure that contract in a way that was A, cap friendly for the team for the first couple years, and B, aggressive for Von Miller. Von Miller probably just wiped his ass with it, that contract. He sincerely declined it. Now he's threatening to sit out the season. He's not going to sign his franchise tag. This is going to get pretty serious. I mean, first Aqib Talib decides to go Plaxico Burress on himself, and now we have Von Miller deciding that he's not going to get rich enough yet on this deal. So it looks like he's going to be sitting out for the time being. And if you don't believe how serious he is, there was a picture of Gary Kubiak, Von Miller, DeMarcus Ware, Peyton Manning, and John Elway at the White House during their Super Bowl presentation with Barack Obama. Von Miller took that picture, cropped out John Elway, and posted it on his page.
That's so petty right there, but man, he wants that bread. Get him his money. He certainly needs it. He deserves it. He's a baller.
Yep.
All right, man. Let's get on to the polls right quick. We actually had like four polls, I think three polls this week. The first one was will this defense improve with the changes they made in this off season? 14% said no, 86% say yes. I actually wanted to vote no because the linebackers stink and they did not improve that unit at all.
I agree. I said no. I don't think there's improvement there. Byron Maxwell, sure, but what Maxwell are we gonna get?
He had an awful first 2 weeks, but after that he had a decent passer rating. But the thing is, his issue was he can't tackle. He can't tackle. He was awful when it comes to putting somebody on the ground. That was the one thing that was not that bad with Brent Grimes. Was at least Brent could tackle the ball, somebody, even though he got destroyed by Sammy Watkins and Brandon Marshall and whoever he was guarding in New England.
I agree. Grimes was a phenomenal football player for this team, extremely athletic. He did tackle, but let's be serious. His declining play last year was his downfall. Obviously, Miko played a big role in that too.
She'll never admit it, but yes, you're absolutely right on that.
When he retires, I hope he divorces.
For his type of character, he is, because he's the quiet guy. I think he had to get somebody like her. Because she's a loud mouth in the relationship.
Yeah, that's an understatement of the century.
All right, is Rashad Jones a better player than Harrison Smith? 77% said yes, 23% no, said no. I think Rashad Jones is the best safety in the league besides Earl Thomas.
You forgot Eric Berry.
Eric Berry's fantastic. I love me some Eric Berry. Yeah, you're right. I always thought of him like more like a corner. I don't know why I saw him as a corner.
Yeah, I mean we can go on and on, but you know, I will list off. You know, Eric Berry I think is the best safety right now in the NFL. Earl Thomas I believe is the second best, and I would personally put Rashad Jones third right now on that list, and then probably Cam Chancellor, and then Harrison Smith.
Exactly. That's kind of like the list I have. I have a little bit different. I have Earl Thomas, Eric Berry, Rashad Jones, and then Cam Chancellor, and then Harrison Smith. So a little bit of a swap between the first two players.
Yep.
Now, what will the outcome of this Rashad Jones contract or holdout? What is the outcome of it? 10% said he'll miss some games. 32% said he'll get a new contract. 59% said he'll play with that same deal.
I went with he gets a new deal. I think he will get a new deal. May not be this year, but it definitely will be before his contract expires. But I don't think he misses games. I think he's going to be on the field. He's going to play. I'm sure when the camps between his agent and the front office get together, it's going to be more like, look, he's going to play this year. He's going to make $7 million. If he plays this year, if he shows up, we will negotiate a new contract with him, but it will be after the season is over. But he will receive an extension, and quite possibly, if his play continues, he's going to get a pretty big raise.
Definitely. I think he is a baller-type player, and I think he's competitive enough to say, put the money issue to the side, and then just shut up and play. That's why I think he'll play with that same deal, because I don't really see the Dolphins having any type of issues with players threatening to hold out. I don't think they've had that issue before. One time they had it with Pouncey. He threatened to hold out, but they gave him a brand new deal like probably 2 weeks later.
Yep.
Now, actually, let's get into some Twitter right quick. One, I actually did it wasn't really a poll. This was more of a shout out. I had like a shout out to, the Fins fans. This is for you all. I know you're from New York, Rochester, New York. Am I correct?
That is correct.
And I know Mike found at Dolphins Talk is from Syracuse. Is that correct?
That is correct.
I, myself, Randy, I'm actually born in Miami, raised in Miami, but we actually got like a whole crap ton full of feedback from you Dolphins fans in reference to where you guys are from. Can I go down the list for you, Tom?
Let's do it.
All right, so I got Pammy at Preshel1 actually said she's from Titusville, or he's from Titusville. Holden Caulfield is from Colorado. Ron Kniff, one of my favorite followers that I've acquired since doing the podcast, he's from Palm Bay, Florida, Space Coast. I think that's a little bit near Tampa. I'm just bad with that part of Florida. I have Chris Petras from Rhode Island. You also have Javi Toyos, or Jay Toyos, from Norway, Norwalk, California. You also got Neil McLaughlin from Washington, Tyne and Ware, the proper one in UK, and not the one in USA. So shout out to the people international. You also got Christian CD _ Glute 1, South Florida for life. What's up, 305? You also got Blade 1323 from Maine. You also got Alex E. OSOE Panda from Mexico, but he currently lives in Florida. So again, another international listener we got. We also got I can't see your name here, but it says you were actually born in Connecticut. You were actually raised in Naples, and now you currently live in Charleston, South Carolina. You also got Eldon Jensen from Utah. And you also got my boy GLK Boozer. Yo, you're funny as hell, my dude. You're from Florida. Man, this is nuts. Am I saying? Am I correct?
It's amazing the following that this team has. If you want me to be completely honest with you, where I am from in Western New York, this is a area full of Dolphins fans.
That is amazing.
In Bill's country, if you ever go to a game in Buffalo, if the next time you want to watch the game when Miami's in Buffalo, look in the stands. It is flooded with orange and teal everywhere.
We travel.
In Western New York.
We travel, man. I think I've seen a game where we were in what was it? I think we were in California. We played the Chargers, I think. And then we spanked up the Chargers, and then I'm hearing "Let's go Dolphins" throughout the whole third, fourth quarter, and then I'm hearing it when we play a team like the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo, and then I'm hearing it when we go to Seattle. We actually travel, man. I love it so much. When we go to New England, I mean not New England, but to the UK, we make that trip across the pond. I hear there's just a lot of Dolphins fans. I want to thank you all for just being there and just rooting for the team, and not even just listening to the podcast, but you guys are just there. That's awesome.
Love, you know, we love all Dolphins fans, no matter where you're from. You know, we're all in this together. We got to go through this mediocrity together to hopefully pull out to the other end, the right end,
definitely,
not the ass end, of the mediocrity, and get back to the prominence where this team was from. Let's face it, from the 70s until about the early 2000s, this team did not have a season below 8 wins. They were always 9 to 12 wins a season.
Yeah, it was just, man, just the bad years. But I mean, we're looking up. We certainly are doing good right now, especially with the changes that we've made, the confidence we have in our quarterback. All right, and we're going to end the show off from there. I'm Randy Savage. You can find me on Twitter at RJC Lifestyle. You can also find me on Snapchat and Instagram. Tom, tell them where they can find you at.
You can find me at Twitter at TRNC13. You can catch my writings at DolphinsTalk.com. By the way, Mike, if you're listening, if you have the guts, let's go with Face Off this week. I know we had quite a disagreement with Rashad Jones. I'm waiting. Let's do it.
I want that to happen. I'm excited about the Rashad Jones face off between you two, because I know that Mike is gonna go against the extension, and I know you're gonna go for it, and I want that to happen so bad.
Absolutely, and let's be honest, you know, at the end of the day, this is all fun. This is all fun. Mike and I will poke fun at each other. It's gonna be a great time. Just know that I'm always gonna be right. And I hope you guys enjoy the read when we do launch these things again more frequently. And again, a lot more material is going to be going up on DolphinsTalk.com, especially when we hit training camp, preseason games, and the regular season games. Prepare for preview, post-game videos, you name it. It's going to happen.
It's going to be fantastic. I'm super excited about it. And that ends episode 8. And fins up.
Fins up. Let's go.
Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air, we're on the ground, we're always in control. And when you say Miami, you're talking Super Bowl, 'cause we're the Miami Dolphins. Miami.